today's shiur, I'd like to dedicate to the Nishmas my Zayda, whose yard site is tonight, Reb Tzvi ben Reb Avram David. Allah shalom. So, Rabbi Isai, this be assured that our shiur, this is the second shiur in Chavos Levavos, be assured that this is not merely being tape recorded, it's being recorded in Shemayim. The Gemara says in Yirei Hashem get together, we're Mekayim the Pasuk of Oz Nidburu, Yirei Hashem, Isha Reyehu, Vayakshav Hashem, Vayishama, Vyikosev, Vesefer, Zikar, and Lefanov. When Yirei Hashem come together to speak about Yirei Shemayim, so the Rabbanu Shalom listens carefully, Kaviyachal, the Rabbanu Shalom is listening in, and he's writing it down in the Sefer, Zikar, and Lefanov. Everything is written down in the Sefer, but this is Lefanov, the Sefer is open in front of the Rabbanu Shalom. So it's a schus to get together to discuss Yirei Shemayim. So last week we were learning the Akdama of the Chayvus HaLevavos, and he was telling us the value, the Te'eles, what we gain from Bitachon. And we ended off by saying that a person who's Beteh Bashem, he is free from having any concern from people. He's not looking for people for help. He doesn't have to flatter people, doesn't have to impress people, doesn't have to play games with them, doesn't have to have chanifa, doesn't have to send them cards on their birthdays just because he wants to make them, if he loves them, it's one thing, but if he's doing it just to curry their favor, he doesn't do this kind of thing. He doesn't play games with people, and he's not toireach b'kvoidom. He doesn't look to get toivus from them, doesn't look to get the covet. That's what we ended off last week. So he continues over here in the Zakdom, and he says that a person who's Bateach Bashem, he's Masiach Das Menyani Oilam Azeh, and he's Merakiz Machshavoisav Lenyani Avodas Hashem. A person who has real Bitachon, he can just forget about Lenyani Oilam Azeh, he doesn't have to think about it too much. And he doesn't have to get the latest news reports, doesn't have to get the latest financial reports, doesn't have to be so worried about his portfolio. He can be merakiz machshavoisav, he can concentrate on avodas Hashem. And he doesn't have to worry so much about what's going on in this world. The main thing is his relationship with the Rabbanu Shalom. And v'meila, he has menuchas hanefesh, and he has a chavas hadas, he has a calm soul, he has a break the cup, and he doesn't have daigis for Olam Hazeh. So someone called me up this week from a very chashuv, a chesed organization, really wonderful person, does wonderful things. It's really a wonderful organization, does wonderful things. And he called me up for some help. But his akdama was, I'm sick, I'm burnt out, I'm tired, I have no koyach. This fellow's his 40s. His 40s, young man, good man, been tyra. So I had to tell him that your akdama, I know him well, so I could tell him. I said, you're not getting any pity points from me, because I told you a long time ago. There's no excuse for burning out. What else are you doing in Klal Yisrael? Like I say, I claim the loch in the guf is the grace of loch in the neshama. If you're burnt out, you're not taking good care of yourself. You worry too much that without you, you think everything's going to fall apart. You think you're indispensable. Get some more help. Take it easy. Have a seder learning. Have time to do exercise. Come up to Muncie. I'll take you on a nice nature walk. I'll teach you how to relax. We'll learn some Chavos Levavos together. If you're burning out, it's your own fault. You're not taking care of yourself. And that means you really think everything's in your hands, and you have to do 1,000 things at once, and everything is on your shoulders, and the burden is Hashtach Hashem Ya'avcha. You have too many burdens, throw the burdens on the Rabbanu Shalom. I'm telling you this so you tell us. Come to Muncie anytime you want. I'll give you a healthy rehabilitation. We'll give you a rehab. That's something called the Bahab, the rehab. I told you, the rehab. We'll give you a rehab. Come here, you learn Menuchas Nefesh. Be talking, you learn to Mesir Daito. You don't think the whole world's on your head. If you think the whole world's in your head, this is Shainish can't be talking. Bitachon is you learn how to concentrate on the avodas Hashem, menuchas nefesh, very little worry, v'olam hazeh. And he says, you know, a person who has bitachon, this is maybe the most famous, one of the most famous metaphors of the Chovas Levavos. I love learning it. He says, a person who has real bitachon, he's like the alchemist, the amol kemike, shiach lahapoich kesef, lezov, he says, a person who has bitachon achieves what in the Middle Ages was the ultimate thing. The ultimate thing in the Middle Ages was
alchemy.
And alchemy is, they had something called the philosopher's stone they were looking for, where you could transform base metals or even rocks into gold. You have a Midas touch. Midas touch is not better. But the alchemist, this would be the greatest thing in the world, to be an alchemist. This was the dream of everybody, metamorphosis. So Lechayr would seem like a Bateach B'Shem. He's like the alchemist, who has no daigus. He can make rocks into gold. But says the Chayr Levavos that really a person's Bateach B'Shem is better off than the alchemist. And he gives us not one, not five, but 10 different ways. 10 ways why a person who's Bateach B'Shem is better off than an alchemist. He had this unique koyach, the Chovas Levavos, like he divided things into many sections. And my shver, Rav Gifter, my Rebbe, Zalig Gezun Starkstein, said that his Rebbe, the tells the Rav, Rabbi Yitzchak Bloch, Zecher Tzadik, V'Kadosh Levrach Hashem, Yekam Damai, he said his Rebbe, the tells the Yeshiva, said that he learned his power of analysis and Gemara to look at things and divide things and to see the difference between one thing and the other, which is the whole kind of learning, is to understand why this is different than that and why it's not a comparison, what you can compare, what you can't compare. He learned his entire analytical koyach from Chovas Levavos. Because the more you learn Chovas Levavos, you'll see he has this tremendous koyach. Think for a second, how can you come up with 10 differences why a Bateach B'Shem is better than the alchemist? You have to really have a very interesting mind to see all kinds of differences and come up with differences. So I'll tell you the differences. Number one, a person who's an alchemist sounds gewaltig. Takes some rocks and he... But it doesn't go so easily. Because the alchemist, even the alchemist with his big koyach, the alchemist, which again, Chovas Levavos lived in the 1100s, 1200s, this was the biggest thing in the medieval times, the alchemist has to have certain secret chemicals. And without the secret chemicals, he can't do his work. So he's got to look for them. He has to find them. And if he doesn't find them, he's not available every place and every time. But the Bateach B'Shem, the Bateach B'Shem can turn anything into gold, anytime he wants, everything. Everything in the world can be in them tzoyfer's parnasa. You can make anything in the world parnasa. You want balloons, you can make balloons. There's people making fortunes on balloons. What do you want to make a parnasa out of? You want to make a parnasa out of junk? How many yidden became millionaires on junk, on scrap metal? You can make anything. You don't need any, the Rebbe doesn't need, what yidden become millionaires on, billionaires on. And you can be a billionaire without selling no product whatsoever. So pick up your phone and you call your broker. You make a good deal and you can make $1 billion on one day on Japanese yen. You don't have to own anything. The Bateach B'Shem can turn anything into a profit. You don't need chemicals. You don't even need the stones. Like it says in the pasuk, "Vayachilcha samon lemanadiacha ki lo yalechem levada yichi adam." To teach you that you don't live by bread. In other words, you don't have to make bread. You don't even have to break the bread. Ki al kol moitza pi Hashem yichi adam v'der banishlam zokt. That's how you make money. That's his taich in the pasuk. That you don't have to make, you don't have to run after dough and bread. You don't have to make bread. Hashem, the word of God, sends you money. If it's bashert, the money will run after you. The money's going to run after you. Chaim became just in the right word. The money's going to run after you. You don't have to work. Because loy chaser la bayre yam tsoyim, the Rebbe Hashem doesn't lack for means to get the money to a person. B'chol eis, b'chol makom, anytime, any place. Just have patience. K'may she'aduah hu, like we see by Eliyahu Navi. Eliyahu Navi was in a cave, in a desert. No one knew where he was. Nobody. He was incommunicado. Nobody knew. His wife didn't know where he was. He didn't even have email to that cave. Can you imagine? He didn't even have his Nokia phone with him. He didn't have nothing of facts, garnished. He was in a cave. No one knew he's there. There's no food. There's no nothing for 50 miles around. Desolation. So the Baruch Shalom sends Orvim. Baruch Shalom sends ravens, those black birds, who ordinarily are so selfish, only for themselves. And the Orv in the Teva was the Metzias of selfishness. The Orv is so selfish. The Bnei Orev, we say in davening every day, that the Bnei Orev, the children, the ravens, are starving. And they're bunched them to send the parnassah because they're so selfish. Those adult ravens, they won't even feed their own kids. That's how selfish they are. It's against the whole instinct of anything living. Everything living feeds its children, its offspring, and ravens don't even feed their offspring. And mitten bar chaba, ravens come zooming in Delio's cave, and they bring them cult of Shabbalam. And from where? Unbelievable, from the kitchen. It was glad kosher, mind you, of Achav. Achav, his biggest enemy, who he's hiding from, Davka Achav and Izebel. Davka Achav and Izebel would have to murder Elio on sight. So the Orvim zoomed through the kitchen, and they kept the glad kosher kitchen fighting out there. But the Zohar, the Mar Chulin discusses the problems with that, but Azoy does, it was a glad kosher kitchen, and the Orvim zoom in, and they swoop off a steak off the table over there, just being prepared for Achav. And Achav's about to get a steak, and his prime rib gets flied, Federal Express. The world is yours, what? It was Federal Airborne Express, and it goes right into the cave Elio. And Elio has Geschmack in the Welt, a beautiful steak from his enemy's table, from the Orvim, who are the most selfish birds in the world. Tarvos, Lazoy Vilder Rebbein Shlom. The Rebbein Shlom wants, a bezem can shoot, even a broom can shoot, and the oyev can bring you lunch. And he says, Ishamana, the other stories where Ugas Ritzanach, where Avadya had 100 Nevi'im, Avadya, who was again the major domo of the Russia, the king of the Russia, Avadya was a tzaddik, and he hid 100 Nevi'im, 50 and 50 in two different caves, and he personally supported them. Although these Nevi'im had no parnasim in Bar Chaba, Davka Avadya, the prime minister of the king of the Russia, he's supporting them. And on the other hand, it says in Tillim, Kefir in Russia, Re'evu, V'darshi Adonai L'yachzru Kol Toif. He can be a kefir, a lion, the strongest lion, young lion, ambitious lion. Rashu V'Re'evu, the biggest lion, can be impoverished and starve. V'darshi Hashem L'yachzru Kol Toif. But those who look for their Baruch Shem lack for nothing. As it says, V'aytan Tillim, Yiras Adonai K'doishav Ki Amasa L'Re'ev. Right? Fear Hashem those who are kedoshim, because there's nothing missing. Ain machs on the array of the array Hashem missing for nothing. Garnished, not nothing. They'll get everything they want exactly. So that's the first difference between the alchemist and the array Hashem. The alchemist still requires chemicals and materials to get. He needs some kind of a emtsoi, some kind of a cause to bring him his parnasa. The Darash Hashem, the Bitbaitev Hashem needs nothing. Hashem can send it any place, any time, in the most fantastic ways. Number two, the person who's an alchemist, fine. So he got a shipment now, year shipment of chemicals, there's all the stones he wants, but he has to go to the laboratory, and he has to deal with it. And the laboratory says, he has to work very hard, he sweats, he has to step around, he has to turn the fire on, it's an avoida. And not only that, he says, there's smells over there, toxic. There are toxic smells. It's environmentally not safe in these laboratories. He has to wear a nose mask, and his eyes get teary, and he might die. So he's working very hard. He's smelling all kinds of toxic things. But the Batei HaBashem, nothing is mazik him. He doesn't have to work very hard. His panasa comes from Menucha, the Hashgate, the Shalva. A Batei HaBashem, it comes peacefully, tranquilly, easily, it's geschmack. If it's not coming easily, geschmack, something is wrong. So your first red flag, if you see, you wonder if you're working too hard, is it's not easy, geschmack, and tranquil. Does that mean I have to quit my job now? Well, rabbis are different. But we have to be, entirely, the thing about Melis, entirely at the Omel. Like my rabbi used to say, no one ever got a heart attack, Mashiach Rambam. No one ever in history, and the Baal Shem Tov says, no one ever got pneumonia from going to a kalsa mikveh. From the way of Hashem, no one gets sick. That's where Amelus is. Adam la'amal yulad. Fact, the Gemara Taka, it says a person is made to toil. So are we advocating a lazy man's life? No, we want you to toil. You have to harv and davening. You have to sweat and davening. I'm sure your clothing is all sweated through and through from Azaz Shachris. Everyone's sweating over here. A Shachris, you're worn out. Davening, biyagia. And Bistami, you had a whole night last night. Might say Shabbos in the winter, golden in the necht. The Langa might say Shabbos in the winter, Bistami, your eyes gemuchet from 6 hours nonstop learning, your eyes are red. That's what you have the Amel. And your Amel to go around collecting money for tzedakah. Because if you don't go around collecting money for tzedakah in the end of Elt, you might not find yourself with a pair of feet. You'll be floating around but without feet, because every part of your body has to be Mziyagei, and the way there's Hashem. And the Bahilagat Tzadikim, they came back sometimes. They saw people come back to them from the Olam HaEmes, and the person was clothed in beautiful things and it was radiating, except for the person's feet. Why don't you have any feet? Why are your feet like lead? Because I was not, I gave tzedakah with my hands, but I never went around collecting tzedakah. So I wasn't amel in tzedakah. I missed out the big opportunity to go collect. Go collect. You know the word. The uncle Lutzgerov says, it says that the malach, right, when Vayitka v'kaf yirecha of Yankov, the malach, when the malach, Yankov Avinu was resting with the malach, so the malach hit him on the gidanosha on his thigh, and Yankov is tzeilei al yirecha, Yankov is limping. So the Zohar Kodesh says that the kaf yirecha of Yankov is ilu tamchen deraisa, that this represents the idea, this physical manifestation of the thigh, it represents a concept in Ruchnias of the tamchen deraisa of those who support Torah. So the Malach of Esav crippled, so to speak, he made lame, he paralyzed the support of Torah. That's why Torah as gate as Oishver. That's why all yeshivas have such troubles, and all Kailim and all Mice of Torah to this very day till 1998, till Yud Aleph Cheshvan, Tav Shin Nun Tes, Yud Beis Cheshvan, all yeshivas are still limping. Every yeshiva is limping. No Olympics for yeshiva, it's limping. And in case you see yeshiva is in the black, something's wrong. They must be doing something wrong. Yeshiva is in the red. That's the Matthias. I'm not joking. If you're in the black, Vice there's not an embassy yeshiva. So something's wrong over there. Because the Tamch and the Raisa are always paralyzed. So in fact, Uncle Lutzgerov, why is the metaphor for Tamch and the Raisa the feet? You give money with your hands. You take out your wallet, you give money. You write a check with your hands. It should be that the Malach twisted out Yaakov in his hand and gave him a tore his ligament in his wrist. That's where the support is, from the hand. Zuckerneck. To give money is easy. Everyone wants to give money. To go around collecting is hard. The real Tamch and the Raisa are those who go around with the feet collecting. That no one wants to do. Everyone is happy to give a check. Yeah, I always say when the guy comes to my house collecting, I say I should pay your taxi because I really should be running after you. You're doing me a favor. You're coming to the house. You're doing me a favor. But the Emes, the Tamch and the Raisa go around collecting. They're going around with the feet. Those gate nishes. So, and these inyanim we have to harva. Amelus is for ruchnius. For gashmius, gashmius is menucha, hashkeit, v'shalva. As Rabbi David Melech zok, the mezing des dreimol v'shalva shudis, mizmol David, Hashem royi, the Lord is my shepherd, loy echzar, I lack for nothing. Hashem royi loy echzar, the Rebbein Shlom is my pastuch, the Rebbein Shlom is my shepherd, the shepherd takes care of all the needs of the sheep. The sheep are very dumb animals, and they had to be taken care of very carefully. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was a pastuch, if there was a little sheep, a shefela that was tired, Moshe Rabbeinu himself put the sheep on his shoulders and schlepped this sheep, which was pretty heavy, even if it was a little lamb. It was a heavy lamb, and he schlepped it till he got some food. And in case the grass was too hard for this sheep to chew, Moshe Rabbeinu, the heiliger Moshe Rabbeinu, took this shefela and he took it to another part of the pen and said, Shefela, is this grass geschmacker for you? Maybe you want a little better grass? It's too hard. You're not chewing your menuchah nefesh. I want to make sure you have a good water supply. I want to make sure you shouldn't work too hard. Is this grass okay? Sheep, meh, not good enough. Moshe Rabbeinu takes the sheep to another part, says, is this clover maybe? This is a different kind of a grass. It's clover, it's softer, it's sweeter. Sheep said, yeah, shine good. Moshe Rabbeinu said, fine. So the shepherd that we're talking about, Hashem Royi Lo Yechzer, is Azoy B'Moshe Rabbeinu, who's a real shepherd, who's a shepherd, he's Bedarf Tzayin. And there's nothing to worry about. And Moshe and David HaMelech said, "B'nois Desha, Yar B'tzayni." The Rebbeinu Shel Olam lays me down in green pastures. Al Mei Menuchos, Yina Aleini. And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam leads me on Mei Menuchos. And we all know the famous words from Chaim Volozhiner. Chaim Volozhiner says in the Ruach Chaim, he says, "What's pshat b'nois Desha Yar B'tzayni?" So he says his word. I'm sure I've told you many times. He says, sometimes a person wants to keep moving in life. I want to get moving, but I'm stuck in some place. So a person is stuck somewhere and he really wants to go on, but he's stuck. He just can't get out of a certain job or a certain place. So then, if he's stuck, Hashem put me here, I'm stuck. And that place, which to me seems to be such a prison, b'nois Desha, I have to look at it like Hashem put me here. You know what? This is a green pasture. It doesn't look like that to me, but if I see I'm stuck over here, it must be the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants me to be here. So although it's a Yar B'tzayni, I have to feel like it's Nois Desha. Sometimes it's Fakert. I want to rest. I want to stay in one place. Rebbeinu Shel Olam says, no, keep going, keep going, keep going. I want to rest. I want to take it easy. Hashem pushes me. You see, I just have to keep going. I just can't get out of this. So if that's the matzah, if you can't get out of it, if Hashem's menayel me, he's pushing me, I'm a Baal B'tochen. If Hashem's making me do this, it's Mei Menuchos. It's very calm and tranquil. Of course, one has to have, and this is why it comes to B'tochen. This is a very personal thing. Bottom line, everything we're learning is sometimes, oh wow, it sounds like so far-fetched, it's too much. B'tochen, we have to learn the parsha. We're learning Chavos Levavos. Then everybody has to understand where we're holding today, and who we're holding. And even conceptually, we believe in the Chavos Levavos, we're not holding by it necessarily, but we have to know the tachlis of B'tochen and where it can lead us to. And you really, no two people are alike, but we have to steig in B'tochen. We have to steig and know there's opportunities for growth. The ultimate goal of B'tochen is Menuchos and Nefesh. Bottom line is, everybody wants to be without daigis and peace of mind. If they're all said and done, the thing we want most in life is security and peace of mind. We don't want to rush. We don't want to feel pressure. Really, that's all we really want. We have a sense of security and mominess, everyone. And you know, that's the reason. It's really a strange thing. Mishiach the mother writes the Messiah. A person has 100 wants 200. A person has 200 wants 400. A person has 1,000 wants 1,000. But what if I ready? I'm Bill Gates. And the Chav Shayin, I don't know, it goes up every second. No joke. I mean, what's he worth? $90 billion? $40 billion? So if you have $40 billion, what do you need more? The answer is because what you really, he doesn't want the money to spend. He wants the money out of security. Because if you have 40 billion, you can still lose it. So I need 80 billion so I can protect my 40 billion. So in case I lose 40, I have another 40 left. Everybody wants security. The reason why Mishiach the money writes of assignment is not to spend the money. Because you just can't spend $40 billion. Impossible. It's not covered. He has enough covered already. It's security. Because I need more money to hedge a hedge fund, to hedge what I have. And I never know, I'm going to lose what I have. Once I have it, I don't want to lose it. So I need more. Oh, $40 billion is great, but you know, the stock market goes down. It could be worth only $20 billion. So if I get $80 billion, so in case it goes down, I'll have $40 billion. That's the pshat. So the person who has been talking and says, he's better than the alchemist. The alchemist has to work hard. He puts himself in danger. He undermines his health. And of course, the Beis HaLevi has the famous question. The Beis HaLevi asked this question here in Sefer Bereishis. Later on in Bereishis, he asks, how come it is that people, when they're younger especially, they're willing to sacrifice their health to make money? And then, later on, when they lose their health, they'll give away all their money to the doctor. Doctor, just cure me. I'll give you whatever you want. Just cure me. But you, originally, you were healthy. You destroyed your health making the money. So you want the money more than the health. Now you want health more than the money. So he says that, so you might say, well, because I was healthy, I didn't appreciate my health. And now that I don't have it, I appreciate it. Now he says, just as Yapa, he says, because now you didn't have the money, you appreciate money too much. You thought money's great. And now that you have the money, you see, what's the big deal of money? I'd rather have my health. You appreciate health all the time. Just you thought money's better than health. So you're willing to sacrifice your health for money's up there. Once you get it, you see, what's money? And really, is that so great, money? Thicker's my health, thicker's other things, my menuchos nefesh. Third difference is, the Omen Kemeke, the alchemist, can't trust anybody. The alchemist lives a life of absolute fear, trepidation. He has no friends. He's insecure. He becomes mamish paranoid. How can I? I can't trust anybody. Maybe they want my secret. They want my secret. Can't share a secret with anybody. Right? Can't share all these tips with other people too. I get inside information. I can't tell anybody about this. This is. But the Baal Bitachon Vaker. If you really have Bitachon, you love telling people about it. You have no fear from anybody. Vaker, you misspoil it to everybody. Like David HaMelech said in Tillim, Belahim Batahti, Lo Yira, I Bitachon Hashem, I'm not afraid of anybody. Mayas Adamli, who's going to hurt me? But if you're into alchemy or modern day alchemy, we have other ways of making money instantly. You don't tell anybody. Shh, it's a big secret. I'm afraid to reveal it to anybody. Could there be competition to me? Baal Bitachon don't have a sense of competition. If you're afraid of anybody in business or anything, that somebody can take something away from you, you're not Baal Bitachon. Baal Bitachon has no fear. He's not afraid of his competitors. He's not afraid someone's going to get the secret that he has. He's so smart. By definition, Baal Bitachon, if I care, his misfortune wants to tell everybody, join me in Bitachon, because I know that if you have Bitachon, it makes mine stronger. There's no competition by Bitachon. If I care, if I can mashpia on you to be Baal Bitachon, you will help me raise my madrega. We'll go together. As we said in Elozman from the Vardin, that there's a Torah law of thermodynamics, that if you take three lukewarm cups of tea, each one 90 degrees, and you put them into one big glass, you still only have one big lukewarm cup of tea, still 90 degrees. But if you take three yidden who are lukewarm in their avodas Hashem, and they come together, and they learn together, and they shteik together, they become boiling hot, they're steaming, burning hot, because you put a few yidden together, gevaltig heat. So the Baal Bitachon wants that more Bitachon, because he knows that if Yenna is Bitachon, he becomes hotter than Bitachon Hashem. Number four difference. The Oman Chemica, our alchemist over here, has a big problem. What should I do? Supply and demand. Should I produce? Okay, I'm in the laboratory already. I'm dying of the fumes. I'm working very hard, but I'm not going to make it worthwhile. So should I produce a year's worth of gold? But that's a problem. So a year's worth of gold, where do I store it? Oh, I have to go to Yossi Greenwald, and I have to go to the bank, and I have to get a space in your safe. And I have to, I have to go to Fort Knox. I have to go to the Federal Reserve down to where it's downtown someplace in Wall Street, the Federal Reserve building. I have to get 16-foot walls. I have to go 10 stories down under the ground. Where am I going to store all this gold? Okay, so I'm not going to make so much gold. You know what? I'm going to make only a week's worth at a time. Week's worth at a time. What a pain. It means next week I have to set the laboratory all over again. And next week I have to worry all over again to make some more. I'm in a quandary. Too much, too much. Too little is too little. But if I'll be talking, he just worries about today. But today, Hashem, right here, Hashem in the finest me, this man she yirtze, the mokim she yirtze, just like he says that, you know what, the classic example of bitachon are, two classic examples of bitachon. The uber bekerav imai, the embryo inside the mother's womb, the baby has no digus. The baby doesn't think of anything. The baby doesn't even have a guppel mess. The baby doesn't have a fork, doesn't have a spoon, doesn't have a knife. The baby doesn't even have to suck. When the baby goes out of the womb, he has a shanarbit. He has to suck the milk from the mother. The baby in the mother's womb, he's hooked up to his mother, got an umbilical cord, and he's laying there in the amniotic fluid, his geschmack, and he's learning called Tarakula, as a ner dolak al roishai, as at the ganze welt. That's how much bitachon you can have. A person can have bitachon to the madrega, that he's like uber v'yerachimot. Or he says, better yet, there's an even better metaphor, he says. This is really very interesting. He says, nefroyach b'toich ha-beitza. He says, imagine a little chick inside the eggshell. And a chick inside the eggshell, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam makes that when the hen lays the egg is such a pella from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that the baby is inside there, and the yolk is fertilized already, if it's fertilized, and the albumin around it is its parnasa, is its food. And you can't break into an egg, and you can't break out of the egg until the right time. And Rebbeinu Shel Olam makes that every chicken, now this evolved, but every chicken has a chicken tooth, egg tooth, and that bangs through. But until it bangs through and cracks the eggshell, this chicken is incommunicado. You can't get in, you can't get out. And you know what? He's a self-contained food emporium. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam made the chick, this little embryo, which is nothing right now, with its own food supply built in. It's not even hooked up to the mother. A baby in the mother's stomach, the mother has to keep on eating, so it should go through the umbilical cord. The egg is noch besser. It's mamish, actually the exact amount of needs, not too much albumin, not too much yolk, not too little, the exact amount of nutrition to support one chick for the entire time of incubation. That's how the Rabbanu Shlom gives the Baal Bitachon. The Baal Bitachon has nothing to worry about. And many times he says, Nari, a lion, despite how strong it is, and that the lion, there's billions of gazelles and wildebeest and water buffalo and anything that can be hunted, and this lion can go, that gets no food, the zebras run away from him, the giraffes run away, there's a drought, kfirim rashu ra'evu. And therefore he says, Narayisi gamza kanti, v'ra'isi tzadik nezav zara mevakesh lochem. So I was a young man, I've gotten old, and I've never seen a tzaddik nezav zara mevakesh lochem. So Gemara says, there's something to think about, I'm not going to elaborate on this today. So Gemara in Gittin says, but we see sometimes that tzaddikim are poor. Says Gemara, yeah, but they'll never have to go around begging. So I always have a wonder, you have to understand why, if someone goes around begging from door to door, you have to understand what's pshat over here. But the Gemara says he's not going to see simoni anius. You can have a tzaddik who is poor, plenty of poor tzaddikim, but they don't feel poor and they don't go around begging. They don't go around begging for themselves. So it's not supposed to be like that. They should go around begging for themselves. That's the avtocha that David HaMelech said. The B'deach Bashem is like an egg who has his own self. He takes his parnosa with him. Now, another thing is, I'll just two more differences. He says, number five is that the Baal Kemike is always afraid that the government find out about it, because really it's illegal. Because by making more gold, it ruins the supply and demand and the whole monetary system. And if Alan Greenspan finds out about him, so Shani Dishgut, or Mr. Rubin finds out about him, they'll yidlach around the world. So if the government finds out you're making gold, you're in big trouble. But this is what he says. So the person who has Kemike is afraid of telling his secrets. He's afraid the government's going to find out. He's afraid of robbers who might steal his gold from him. The guy has a lot of problems. This man is very not calm. He's worrying again. Competition, robbers, government. But the care about bitachon, this is taka. The more bitachon you have, the more user-friendly the world becomes. Teretz Chaim Gutra, boys. This, I think, is one of the greatest Torah Elios. The more bitachon you have, the more people love you and want to help you. You had. Fakert. People want to protect you. Like it says in Pasuk. It says in Pasuk. Yoshev Esesu Elyon, it says. The Gamta Yoshev Esesu Elyon is telling us that even the Chayos and Avonim, Meshtoikin, Lazarus, and not just human beings want to help the Baal Bitachon. Even animals are instinctively drawn to help this person. Even the stones, the daimeng, the mineral world wants to help a Baal Bitachon. The higher the Bitachon, the higher a person goes into the Shairish Abriya, the more the entire Briya is mobilized to serve the Baal Bitachon. But again, if a person serves himself, he's not Boteach Hashem, he's Boteach himself, and Skoichav Yaitzim Yadi. So Mar says, okay, take care of yourself. The Zelda is not going to help you. It's not a user-friendly world. The Baal Bitachon, everybody's my ally. Chabash was the Zargon. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of the rocks. I'm not afraid of the lions. The Chabash came Meira. Like it says in Yoshev Esesu Elyon, we say it all the time, Kapitel Tzadik Aleph, before you go to sleep. The Rebbe saves you from all kinds of traps and snares. Hashem covers over with his wings. The Rebbe sends his malachim to protect the Boteach Bashem. The person who's Bateh Hashem, this malachim, Agan Zatag, he feels he's a bodyguard, not a guard. In Hong Kong, the Reich of Hong Kong today, there's a big problem. Big security, every place you go, there's security problems. There's kidnappings. The richer you are, the quicker you get kidnapped. You know, people always mazak me with articles. Everyone can use the rabbi things. I got news I can use. So the news I can use, I got yesterday was an article about the Gurkhas in Hong Kong. So in Hong Kong, two multi-billion dollar tycoons, Chinese, just got kidnapped. And the sums they wanted were like $200 million, $300 million. So now there used to be in Hong Kong during the British rule, the fiercest guards of the British Empire were the Gurkhas that come from Nepal. The Gurkhas are really fierce fighters, very loyal. They can't be bribed, very loyal. But once the British left, the Gurkhas left. But now the Chinese are re-importing the Gurkhas. So I mean, the guy goes out of his house, now this millionaire, this billionaire, he got the secret of alchemy. So he has a big armored BMW, costs $400,000, going in front of his car. An armored BMW in back of his car. And of course his own car is another armored BMW. And in every car he has four Gurkhas with him, four Gurkhas in the front, four Gurkhas in the back. In case he wants to go to his niece's birthday party, so he marches in with 12 Gurkhas, and each one has the sword sheathed in his hand, and of course they have submachine guns. And the problem with the party is that everyone's bringing the Gurkhas, so there's more Gurkhas than kids. So the whole birthday party turns into a military parade. Because as I feel bodyguards, there's 12 bodyguards for every human being over there. And of course the guy can't have 12 just for him. He needs 12 more for his wife. And he's 12 more for